Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Great Influenza by John M. Barry is a sweeping narrative history of the 1918 influenza pandemic, the global catastrophe that killed tens of millions and collided with the final year of World War I. Rather than treating the outbreak as a medical curiosity, Barry frames it as a test of institutions, leadership, and the young science of modern medicine. The book traces how influenza moved through military camps, crowded cities, and international networks, while also explaining why the disease proved so unusually lethal. Barry spotlights the scientists and physicians who were trying to understand viruses, bacteria, and immunity at a time when many foundational tools of epidemiology and laboratory research were still being developed. Just as central is the story of public communication, including how censorship and optimism shape policy choices and public behavior. The result is both a gripping account of crisis and a study of how honesty, preparation, and scientific rigor can determine whether societies endure or unravel. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, modern medicine is built under pressure. A major theme of the book is that the 1918 pandemic struck during a transitional moment in medical history when research medicine was emerging but far from mature. Barry follows the rise of laboratory-based approaches and the push to make medicine more scientific, highlighting the gap between bold new theories and the limited ability to test them. The story underscores how uncertainty dominated decision-making. Doctors debated causes, searched for the right pathogen, and used treatments that reflected the best thinking of the era, but were often ineffective. This period also reveals how fragile scientific progress can be when institutions are under strain, funding is inconsistent, and egos or politics interfere with collaboration. By showing the human side of research, including competition, ambition, and occasional misjudgment, the book makes the case that scientific rigor is not a vague ideal but a discipline that must be defended. The pandemic becomes a harsh proving ground for methods like data collection, clinical observation, and controlled experimentation. Readers come away understanding that medical breakthroughs are not inevitable, and that public health depends on long-term investment in people, labs, training, and standards, especially before an emergency arrives. Secondly, how war accelerated contagion and magnified risk. Barry emphasizes that World War I was not just background context, but an engine that amplified transmission. Massive troop mobilizations created dense living conditions in camps, on ships, and along rail lines, placing large numbers of stressed and often malnourished people in close quarters. These circumstances encouraged rapid spread and repeated exposure, while global movement connected outbreaks across regions faster than communities could react. The book also explores how wartime priorities distorted public health choices. Keeping production high and morale intact could outweigh precaution, and leaders were tempted to minimize alarming information. The interaction between military imperatives and civic life mattered too, because soldiers moved through civilian ports and cities, and home front gatherings brought crowds together. Barry uses this setting to illustrate how social systems shape disease dynamics. Policies about movement, staffing, and public events can be as decisive as any medical intervention. The lesson is not simply that war causes illness, but that any modern system that concentrates people and accelerates travel can function like a wartime network. The pandemic is presented as an early warning of how interconnectedness can turn a local outbreak into a national or global emergency. Thirdly, communication, censorship, and the cost of false reassurance. Another central topic is the role of information, particularly how public messaging influences outcomes during a fast-moving health crisis. Barry details how authorities and institutions sometimes downplayed severity or projected confidence in order to preserve calm, protect economic activity, or sustain wartime morale. This approach can backfire by delaying behavior change, discouraging preparation, and eroding trust once reality becomes undeniable. The book highlights the practical consequences of unclear or misleading guidance. Communities may keep gathering, officials may hesitate to impose restrictions, and individuals may ignore early symptoms or warnings. Barry treats trust as a crucial public health resource that can be depleted quickly and restored slowly. He also shows how honest communication is difficult when scientific understanding is evolving and when leaders fear public panic. The narrative suggests that uncertainty does not excuse silence or spin. Instead, it requires transparent explanation of what is known, what is unknown, and what is being done to learn more. Readers see that credibility is built through consistency and humility, not certainty theater. The pandemic becomes an enduring case study in why forthright messaging and timely disclosure can save lives by shaping collective action. Fourthly, public health measures and the struggle to act in time. Barry explores the uneven effectiveness of community responses, focusing on how timing and coordination can determine whether interventions help or arrive too late. In the absence of vaccines and modern antivirals, Authorities relied on non-pharmaceutical tools such as limiting crowds, closing schools, modifying public services, and encouraging isolation of the ill. The book examines how difficult these measures are to implement when evidence is incomplete, economic pressures are intense, and political leaders worry about backlash. Barry shows that public health is not only medical expertise, but governance. It depends on clear authority, logistics, enforcement, and public cooperation. Local conditions mattered, including healthcare capacity, social trust, and the ability to track cases. He also points to the tension between individual freedoms and collective safety, a debate that becomes especially sharp when measures disrupt everyday life. The narrative highlights the importance of acting early, before hospitals are overwhelmed, because exponential spread punishes hesitation. Readers gain a sense of how prevention is often invisible and therefore undervalued, even though it is what keeps worst-case scenarios from becoming reality. The book uses 1918 to demonstrate that preparedness planning and decisive execution are as critical as scientific discovery. Lastly, leadership, institutions, and what catastrophe reveals. Beyond virology and epidemiology, Barry treats the pandemic as a stress test for leadership and institutional integrity. He portrays how decisions made at the top ripple through hospitals, governments, and communities, shaping who receives resources and how quickly policies adjust. The book suggests that effective leadership during crisis requires the courage to confront grim facts and the willingness to revise plans when new evidence emerges. Institutional culture matters as well. Organizations that reward candor and competence respond differently than those driven by image management or rigid hierarchy. Barry also underscores the ethical dimension of crisis leadership, including responsibility to the vulnerable and the obligation to avoid sacrificing truth for short-term stability. The pandemic exposed inequalities, shortages, and administrative weaknesses that had existed before the outbreak but became lethal under pressure. By connecting individual choices to systemic outcomes, the narrative shows that disasters are rarely purely natural. They become historic tragedies when predictable vulnerabilities are ignored. Readers are encouraged to see preparedness as a civic project, not merely a medical one, involving education, infrastructure, and policy. The enduring takeaway is that society cannot outsource resilience. It must be built deliberately through honest institutions and leaders who treat science and public welfare as non-negotiable. Priorities. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a rigorous, story-driven understanding of pandemics without reducing them to a list of dates and death tolls. It will appeal to general nonfiction audiences, students of history and public policy, healthcare professionals, and anyone interested in how scientific progress is made under real-world pressure. The benefit is practical as well as intellectual. Barry shows how outbreaks interact with trust, leadership, logistics, and communication, helping readers recognize why early action, transparency, and institutional competence can change outcomes. Those insights translate directly to modern life, where travel, dense cities, and polarized information environments can turn health threats into social crises. Compared with many pandemic books that focus narrowly on medical facts or personal anecdotes, The Great Influenza stands out for its wide-angle approach. It connects laboratory science to government decisions, wartime systems, and public behavior, offering a framework for thinking about risk and preparedness rather than just recounting events. Buying it is worthwhile because it functions both as compelling narrative history and as a durable guide to the recurring patterns that determine whether societies respond wisely when the next emergency arrives. If you would like to support John M. Barry, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.